We're going to turn to the book of Daniel, and we have recognized the book of Daniel for a few Sundays here in our last few Sunday mornings that we've met together, and we're going to turn there again this morning to the book of Daniel, and I want you to look, if you would, at chapter number 2 this morning. Daniel chapter number 2 in our Bibles. And I want us to read a few verses there in Daniel chapter 2 that I hope will be an encouragement to us this morning. And we've recognized again the book of Daniel for the last several Sundays. A couple weeks back when we had Father's Day, we preached a message from the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 3. And we touched on the story of the three Hebrew children and how they had to go into the fiery furnace because they would not bow to that idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And we use that passage of Scripture to encourage our fathers that were here and men that were here and Christians that were here about what kind of a Christian, what kind of a dad, what kind of a man God is looking for. And we use the story of the three Hebrew children there. And then several Sundays ago, we went back to the book of Daniel, and we were in Daniel chapter 1, then we were in Daniel chapter 5 and 6 as well. And we talked about how that Daniel was known for having an excellent spirit. To go along with our theme for the year of 2023, we encouraged you that Sunday to let's be always abounding in excellence. Let's have an excellent spirit. And we talked about Daniel's excellent spirit and how his excellent spirit was what caused those men to have the king sign a decree saying that if he prayed to his God, that he would be thrown into the lion's den. But that did not stop Daniel's faith, did it? He put his trust in God. He did have to go into the lion's den, but the Bible described his character as that of an excellent spirit. Well, today I want to turn to Daniel chapter number 2, and we're going to look at something unique in Daniel chapter 2 here, something the Lord has put on my heart for this Sunday morning. I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you here from the book of Daniel, and Lord willing, we're going to be in Daniel for a few more weeks. It's just happening that the Lord is working in my heart is this particular book and some subjects within this book. And so we're going to be in Daniel for at least a few more Sundays. And I hope that as we touch on some things in the book of Daniel to help us. And today, contrary to the way you might look at the book of Daniel, I know we emphasize Daniel's prayer when he was thrown into the lion's den. But I want to talk about the subject of prayer from the book of Daniel today. And if there's something that God can encourage our hearts with this theme this morning, or this theme this year, in the year of 2023, it's certain that we would say one of the things that we need to be encouraged with as God's people is to always abound in prayer. And so I believe the Lord would have me to preach a few messages from the book of Daniel on this subject of prayer. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 2 this morning. And when we give you the context of this passage, and we start to break this passage down, the thought that we're going to see this morning is we're going to look at a certain type of prayer that we need to pray to the Lord. There are certain types of prayer that we present to the Lord. And one of those types, I think, is seen here in Daniel 2. And I hope it'll be used to encourage your heart to be mindful of praying this way to the Lord. When we as God's people go to Him and we talk to Him, that we would be mindful of praying this type of a prayer or this way to the Lord. So I hope it'll help you that way. In Daniel chapter number 2, the main passage of Scripture that I want to look at is starting in verse number 19. But we're not going to get there yet because I want to give you the context. I want to give you the background of what's happening here in Daniel chapter 2 to lead us to verse number 19. So we see the context starting in verse number 1. Now, I'm not going to read all of these verses that lead up to verse 19, but let's look at verse number 1, if you would. So Daniel chapter 2, look with me, if you would, in verse number 1. The Bible says this in Daniel 2, verse number 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Now, you ever had that kind of a dream where your spirit kind of gets a little bit troubled and even wakes you up a little bit, and maybe get you to that place. We had a chance this week to visit one of our shut-ins, and one of our shut-ins was talking about that a little bit to us about some dreams that they were having, and sometimes that can happen where we have dreams, and sometimes he even wakes us up, maybe startles us a little bit. Well, that's what's happening with King Nebuchadnezzar. Now you have to remember, King Nebuchadnezzar was the one that besieged Jerusalem. And he brought back with him captives. one of those captives was Daniel and the three Hebrew children that we know of. And we're going to be talking about them in a little bit in Daniel chapter 2 as well. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three Hebrew children that came along with Daniel from Jerusalem, from their land, as he besieged the city of Jerusalem and brought back captives to Babylon. So this is the same king. Well, the Bible tells us he has dreams. And the Bible tells us when he has those dreams, look with me if you would at verse number 2. So his sleep is disturbed by these dreams. Verse 2, it says this. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. The Bible tells us the magicians and the wise men are called before the king. And his goal is he's going to get these wise men and these magicians to tell him the interpretation of his dream. And so starting in verse number 3, and we're not going to read all these verses, but starting in verse number 3 and going all the way to verse number 9, a dialogue ensues. And that dialogue that takes place back and forth from King Nebuchadnezzar to his magicians and his wise men, that dialogue that ensues, shows the wise men just how much trouble they are in if they are not able to interpret the king's dream. From verse 3 to verse number 9, we see that. And in that dialogue, the king demands to know the interpretation of his dream. So the wise men and the magicians, they answer him. And their answer is, well, you have to tell us your dream, and then we'll tell you the interpretation of the dream. But Nebuchadnezzar says, well, I've forgotten the dream. So I don't know the dream, so you have to tell me what the dream is, and then you have to tell me what the interpretation of the dream is as well. So I'm demanding not only the details of the dream, but I also want the interpretation of the dream as well. And if not, you're going to be put to death, he says. So there's going to be a big punishment that's going to take place. All of this is happening in this dialogue, verse 3 to verse number 9. But if you are able to tell me what the dream was, and you're able to give me the interpretation of the dream, then I'll give you gifts. I'll give you rewards, he says, and I'll even give you a place of honor, he says, if you're able to tell me what the dream is and give me the interpretation. Well, the Bible tells us they ask a second time now. They're going to start wearing on the patience of the king. They ask a second time. In order for us to tell you the interpretation of the dream, you have to tell us the details of the dream. And the Bible tells us he begins to get angry at them for stalling. Now, that's one thing that happens at my house a lot around bedtime, stalling. Parents, you ever had that? All right? Oh, I've got to go do this one more thing. This one more thing has to happen before my girls want to get in bed. And so I tell them all the time, I said, come on now, you're stalling. Oh, we're not stalling. Oh, you're stalling. You're trying to hold off bedtime here. And we finally get him. He gets frustrated at them. He gets angry at them for stalling. And the Bible tells in verse number 10. Would you look at verse number 10 for a moment? So we've skipped this dialogue, but that's what's happening in this dialogue. And now in verse number 10, it says this. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel. I'm sorry, I was in chapter 1. I apologize. Chapter 2. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, now you got to notice the words here. There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that ask such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. So what are they saying in verse number 10? They're saying this is outside of the realm of human possibility. We cannot do this. You're asking us to do something that a human is not able to do, and as a matter of fact, no king would ever ask this. This is not even a request that a king would ever even ask. Matter of fact, the only one that would be able to even answer this would be the gods would be able to help with this. And that's all. And by the way, that's lowercase g God. Did you notice that as you were reading through in your Bible? So the Bible tells us at that point, they began a plea for mercy. They're saying this is impossible. This is something we cannot do. And it shows their plea of mercy shows the seriousness of the danger that they are in. The king is serious about this. He's going to take their life. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 12 that he explodes. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 12. It says this, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So he explodes. The Bible says that they had admitted their inability to interpret the dream, and that made him very angry. their inability. These are my wise men, right? These are my magicians. These are the ones I would call on to do things for me like this in my kingdom, and they cannot do it. So the Bible tells us in verse number 12 that he is so angry that he commands to destroy all of the wise men of Babylon. Now look, if you would, at verse number 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. Now, not only these wise men and these magicians that have been called for to be slain, but the Bible tells us another group is added to this. Would you look at the end of verse number 13? He's ordering their punishment, and there's some men that are included in this punishment. Look at the end of verse 13. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now, when it says his fellows there, it's talking about his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that had come along with him as they had besieged Jerusalem to Babylon. And they are to be slain, the Bible tells us. Then the Bible tells us we get into verse number 14, which helps us to set the stage for what we're going to talk about in the life of Daniel today. But before we go any further, I want us to go back to verse number 11 for just a moment, because I want us to remember something that was said. In verse number 11, the Bible says this, that the wise men and the magicians are speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, and they say these words, "And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods." Now, they unknowingly are setting the stage for Daniel's God to do just that. Now, when we say Daniel's God, we're not talking about a small letter G God. We're talking about the one and only God. They are setting the stage for God to work in a great and a mighty way. They say, except the gods. They're the only ones that could do this. Well, Daniel's God is about to do just that. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 14. The Bible tells us Daniel begins to speak wisely to the servant of the king in verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. By the way, one of the things that we need to regularly be asking God for is wisdom. Let's be asking God for wisdom. As a matter of fact, in just a moment, we're going to get back to that when we see Daniel's prayer here in Daniel chapter number 2, and he talks about God's wisdom. God, the Bible tells us, is willing and able to give us wisdom, but we as his people need to be asking for wisdom. We need to be answering with wisdom, just like Daniel did. The Bible says he speaks wisely. He answers with wisdom and counsel. And he talks to Arioch, which is the captain of the king, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. So this servant now has been given the responsibility of taking all of these wise men, taking all of these magicians, taking Daniel and his three friends, and killing them. That's the responsibility of this captain named Arioch. And the Bible says that Daniel begins to ask him for an explanation of all of this. Look with me, if you would, at verse 15. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. So an explanation is given by the captain there to Daniel of what has taken place. So you can almost hear the conversation. Well, the king's had a dream. He doesn't understand what his dream is. He's called the wise men and the magicians in, and they cannot interpret the dream. And so now his penalty or his punishment is that he's going to put them to death. Well, the Bible tells us Daniel gives an answer. In verse number 16, the Bible says Daniel goes into the king. Look at verse 16, if you would. Then Daniel went in, desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Here's what Daniel's really, in essence, doing. He's guaranteeing an answer. He's guaranteeing that if you will give me a little bit of time, he says, I will be able to give an answer to you. By the way, what a huge promise. Well, the Bible tells the king grants him that time. Now, you might remember before he got upset with the wise men and the magicians for stalling. But Daniel asked for more time, and the Bible tells us the king grants the request of Daniel. Then we pick up verse 17. The Bible says, then Daniel went to his... Now we're going to start to see some important principles about prayer here. All this is important. We got to gather these today. We got to get what God's trying to teach us. Look at verse 17. Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. So Daniel goes to his house, and then the Bible tells us he makes the matter known to his friends. Now, why would he make the matter known to them? So that they can pray along with him. I know we understand that. His desire is that they would pray along with him. Then the Bible tells us that they began to pray, and they begin to ask the Lord for the interpretation of this dream. God, would you grant us this request and show me the interpretation of the dream so that I can go to the king and so that our life can be spared. Now, in verse number 17, we told you that Daniel made the thing known to his friends. And then when Daniel begins to pray, who does he make it known to? He makes it known to his God. Now, let me pause here for a minute because I think that's so important. Some will ask the question, well, why do I need to pray anyway? Because God already knows. And that is true. God is an all-knowing God. That means God knows every need you have before you even present it to Him. But there's still something about prayer that God desires from His people. He wants to hear you ask Him for it. He's making it known to His God the need. That's what God desires of us as His children when we pray to Him, that we make our needs known to Him. Although He already knows it, He wants to hear you pray, doesn't He? He wants to hear you ask. Just like if your child or your grandchild had a need, you would want them to come to you and present that need to you. You might say, well, I already knew you had that need, but I'm thankful that you came and you asked me so that I could be able to help you with that or provide the need that you have for you. That's the same way it is with God. He wants to hear us pray. Even though He already knows, He wants to hear us pray. So He presents the problem to the friends first, and then so that they can pray with Him, He presents His problem to His God. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 18, the Bible says this, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So what are they seeking from God? They're seeking mercy. Now remember, we are thankful for God's grace, and we are thankful for God's mercy. God is a God of grace, which He gives to us. When we say His grace, we mean He gives to us things that we do not deserve. But the word mercy has the idea of God withholding that which we do deserve. So there are some things that we deserve, but God says, I'm going to, with my mercy, I'm going to withhold from you that which you deserve. God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. Well, the Bible tells us that they are seeking God's mercy. And by the way, this is a powerful expression of their spiritual confidence they had in God. God, we can go to you for mercy, and we know that you're going to hear us, and we know that you're going to answer us. By the way, may prayer, as application here this morning, may prayer in our lives be a powerful expression of the confidence that we have in our God. God, I'm expressing the confidence I have in you when I pray to you, because I know that you said that if I have a need, that I'm to take it to you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. May prayer in the life of a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you know Jesus as your Savior, may prayer be a strong expression of the confidence that you have in God. Well, the Bible tells us God, in His mercy, He chooses to intervene, and the Bible tells us He rescues them. And what an opportunity that is given now for God to showcase His presence and His power in their lives. He is the one that's going to get the honor and the glory for all of this. He is the one that's going to reveal His plan and His purpose and all that is going to work there in Babylon with not only Daniel and not only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but also with King Nebuchadnezzar as well. God's going to get the honor. He's going to get the glory. His plan, His purpose is going to be revealed. And so we move to verse 19. Now, this is our main text. And I want to give you a couple thoughts when we read verse 19 to verse number 23 that I really hope will encourage you this morning with this type of prayer that Daniel prays. Notice with me, if you would, verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. What is the Bible telling us? God revealed the dream, didn't He? So God answered his prayer. Now, I want you to notice Daniel's response to God's prayer. Excuse me, to God's answer. All right, this is what we're really going to touch on here in the remainder of our message. We're going to notice Daniel's response to God's answer. Was his response great relief? You know, after all, he's about to die, right? So his response could have been, whoo! Yeah. Glad God came through on that one. Or his response could have been pride. He could have gone before the king and said, well, let me let you know here, king, I've got the interpretation for you here. And it's something that I've done on my own here, and I've got this interpretation. I'm going to present it to you now. So he could have responded with relief. He could have responded with pride. But the Bible tells us instead of responding that way, immediately he begins to praise the Lord. Notice his response, if you would, in verse number 19. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Instead of relief, instead of pride, going before the king and using what God had given to him for his own advantage to say, I've now received the interpretation of the dream and I can give it to you now, O king, in pride. Instead, he responded in worship. And what do we see Daniel do? We see Daniel go right into a prayer time. And here's the type of prayer that Daniel prays that I want to encourage you with this morning for the last few minutes of our message. He prays a prayer of praise. A prayer of praise. Can I say that one of the types of our prayer, one of the ways that we need to pray to the Lord is praying prayers of praise. How often in our lives do we have God answer a prayer request and then it slips our mind to even thank Him? We fail to even praise Him for what He's done. Oh, may our minds immediately go to praising the Lord and thanking Him. You know, we have a prayer sheet that we hand out here in our church, and it has all kinds of prayer needs on it. But isn't it comforting to know that not only can we have a prayer time, but we, with our God, can also have a praise time? Because not only are we asking God for things, but there's times we can praise God for things that He has done in our life. And that's exactly what Daniel does. Would you look at the scripture passage here with me for just a moment? And I want you to notice this prayer of praise. Not just asking God for things. This is where this prayer of praise comes in. It's not just asking God for things. It's praising and thanking God for things. It's expressing to Him our love and our gratitude to Him for all that He has done for us. It's a way of worshiping Him. And notice what it says in verse number 20. It says, Daniel answered and said, notice the first part of this verse, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Now that is a way of Daniel recognizing God's greatness and recognizing God's character. We sing a song in our hymnals and it says these words, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's not about my name. It's not about your name. It's about the name of Almighty God. And we're to bless the name of God because that is a way of us recognizing His greatness and His character. You know that little phrase, blessed be the name of the Lord, reminds me of that passage of scripture in the book of Job when the Bible tells in Job chapter number 1 that Job had lost all of his possessions. His children had even been taken from him. And he said this, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I say when we bless the name of the Lord, it reminds us and it gives us a way of recognizing His greatness and His character and the goodness of our God. But then would you look at the end of verse number 20? He says this, for wisdom and might are His. Now, did you notice what Daniel says at the end of verse number 20? Wisdom and might are Daniel's. No, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say wisdom and might are mine or are Daniel's. He says wisdom and might are God's. And can I say that's true of our God today? Wisdom and might is God's. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 20, verse number 21, the start of the verse. And He changeth the times and the seasons. It's Daniel's way of saying that God, yes, You are in control of all of life. You are the one that's in control. It's Daniel's way of saying, God, You are a sovereign God. Look at the next part of that verse. He says, He removeth kings and setteth up kings. It's Daniel's way of saying, God, You're sovereign. You're in control of all things. You are ruler of everything. So from verse number 20 to the start of verse number 21, how has Daniel praised the Lord? We got to catch these. How has Daniel praised the Lord? Here's how Daniel praised the Lord. He praised Him for who He is. You know, that's one of the parts of our praise time to God. It ought to be praising God for who He is. Let's be mindful of His character. Let's be mindful of the fact that He is the one that has done what has taken place in our life. He is the one that's sovereign. He's the one that's in control. Let's thank God for who He is. But there's another way in which he praises God. Would you look at the end of verse number 21? He says this, "He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Here's what Daniel's saying. Just like you promised you would in James 1:5, Daniel said, "You've given wisdom." Now, Daniel would not have had access to James 1:5. I'm not trying to say that in that way. What I'm saying is James 1:5 in our Bible tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So just like God says he'll do in James 1 verse number 5, if we will ask him for wisdom, he says he will give to us wisdom. And just like God said he would give wisdom, that's exactly what the Bible tells us he does to Daniel. He gives wisdom to Daniel and he gives understanding. So what is Daniel doing here? The Bible tells us now he is thanking God for what he has given to him. Notice he even uses the word at the end of verse number 21. He says, "He giveth." So number one, we praise God for who he is. But number two, in verse number 21, at the end of verse number 21, I think it reminds us to praise God for what he has given to us. Everything that we have, God has given to us. I hope that's something you already understand today. Everything that you have, it's because God has blessed you with it. We are just to take what God has given to us, and we are to be wise stewards of it. The Bible says, "Wherefore it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So we're to be faithful with whatever God has given to us. So it all belongs to him anyway, right? If you have a house, it belongs to God. You have a vehicle, it belongs to God. You've got any money in the bank, it all belongs to God. Every possession, every blessing that you have, it all has been given to you by God. So we thank him for all that we have, but we thank him also for all of the needs that he has given to us as well. Because really, if you think about it, all that we have, if we have Christ, then that would be all that we have. That would be all we would need, right? We have him. Thank him for what he has given to us. By the way, I think this shows us a wonderful picture of the fact that God is going to sustain his children. He's going to take care of his children. When we have need of wisdom, he's going to be there to give it to us. When we have need of understanding, he's going to be there to give it to us. God is going to sustain those who are his children. He says that in the New Testament of the Bible, right? If he takes care of the flowers that are in the field, if he takes care of the birds that are in the sky, how much more is he going to take care of his children? God is going to sustain his children. So let's thank God for who he is. Then let's thank God for what he has given to us. But then I think he gives us another reason to praise God. Look at verse 22, if you would. "He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." Now notice verse 23, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." What does he say in verse 23, or verse 22 and verse number 23? He praises God for answered prayer. He's praising God for answered prayer. So it's Daniel's way of saying, number one, I praise God for who he is. Number two, for what he has given to me. But number three, I praise God for what he has done. When God has answered prayer in your life, he has done something for you, hasn't he? You prayed, he answered, he did something for you. So we thank God for who he is, we thank him for what he has given to us, and we also thank him for what he has done in our life. But again, how quickly sometimes, and I'm speaking from personal example at times, how quickly we can forget to praise and thank God and worship him after moments of answered prayer. Can I say this? Daniel is a good example for us because he allowed no time to pass at all, did he? He allowed no time to pass. Immediately, the Bible tells us he goes right away and he begins to bless the name of the Lord. So what is Daniel doing here? He's giving all praise to God. Oh, what a display of worship. What a display of worship. Can I say this? When we're thinking about our prayer time and all that God has done for us, it is not about us. It is all about him. When we are worshiping him, it is all about him. And by the way, in the New Testament of our Bible, in several of the Gospels, I'm going to turn to one of them just for a moment. In Matthew chapter number 6, this is the particular Gospel that I'm going to look at. The Bible tells us that Jesus gives to us a model prayer. You're familiar with that one, I'm sure. Sometimes we'll refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. Some people might even have it on a piece of art or a picture. And some maybe even know the words, "Our Father, which art in heaven," starts into that, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. That's a prayer that God uses give us an example of how we could pray to the Lord and the different parts of prayer. Well, guess what one of the parts of the model prayer is? Praise. The Lord, when he gives us the model prayer, he says that part of that prayer ought to be praise to God for who he is, for what he has given, and for what he has done. Now, I'm going to read just two of the verses of that prayer that's found in Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 9, the Bible says this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, notice this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not about my name. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's about God, isn't it? Hallowed be thy name. I'm praising and I'm lifting up and I'm magnifying his name. And then a little bit later in that prayer, towards the end of the prayer, he says this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now notice the end of this verse. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen, he says. What a model of prayer for us. What an example of prayer that we would praise God for all of the things that he has done for us, all that he has given to us, and who God is. Now, I'm going to finish the message by giving you three real quick thoughts. I want you to perhaps be mindful of these in your mind, maybe perhaps write these down. Three real quick thoughts that I want to finish our message with that remind us of Daniel's response, how that his heart was focused on God and it ought to be an example to us. And there's three thoughts that I want to give you as I finish this message. And may this be a part of our prayer time as we praise the Lord. Number one, I want you to notice about Daniel's focus. He was focused more blesser than he was the blessings. Can I say this? Are you focused more on the blessings that you have received, or are you focused on the blesser? Are you focused on the one who gave you the blessings? Think about what we read when we just read what Daniel said. This miraculous rescue. I mean, here God took him from about to die to now he has been rescued and he is going to live. But hold on now, that in Daniel's mind is all secondary, isn't it? He's not even focused on the fact that God has delivered me from death, but instead he's amazed at the wonder of the God who performed it. It's not so much the blessings as it is the blesser. Ask you in your prayer time, I hope praise is a part of your prayer time. Are you focused on the blessings or are you focused on the blesser, the one who gives you the blessings? But then the second thought, and again, maybe you're writing these down, maybe you'll remember them in your heart and your mind here this morning. Are we focused more on the work or on the Lord of the work? Are we focused more on the work or on the Lord of the work? Think about the work that we as Christians have to do. There's a lot that we need to get accomplished, but we cannot ever do the work that God has called us to do without his power and without his presence in our life. So before we start to do the work, we better take time to focus on the Lord of the work. It reminds me of that story of Mary and Martha as Mary sits at the feet of Jesus worshiping. And the Bible tells us Martha's coming about. She's busy getting everything done. She's more concentrated on doing than being what she ought to be. And Mary was the one concentrated on the Lord of the work. Yes, we've got to get the work done, but let's concentrate on the Lord of the work. And that's the pattern that Daniel gives us as he praises his God. But the last thought this morning is this, number three. Are we more concentrated on the answers to prayers or on the God who's answered the prayer? Now, nothing wrong with rejoicing in answered prayer. I don't think it was wrong for Daniel to rejoice in the fact that, whew, but my life's been spared, right? You know, God has rescued me. But I think Daniel gives us a wonderful picture of not so much concentrating on the answered prayer, but concentrating on the God who answered the prayer. Yes, it was answered, but there was somebody who answered that prayer. And when we close this chapter of Scripture, the Bible tells us that Daniel, not in pride at all, comes before the king. If you would, real quickly, right as we close, look at verse 25 with me. It says this, then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste. Now Daniel now has the answer, right? He has the interpretation of the dream. He brings him in before the king. Notice this. And said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Now, was Daniel able to make known the interpretation of the dream? Yes, but it's not because of anything Daniel did, but it's because of what his God did. So notice what the Bible says happens in verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king?" So you brought the wise men, you brought the magicians, you brought the soothsayers in here, and none of them were able to do it. But notice what he says at the beginning of verse number 28. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." Now remember, there's answered prayer. But Daniel's concentrated on the God who answered the prayer. God is the one who can interpret this dream for you. He takes it to the king and he gives to God all of the glory. No pride at all. Daniel doesn't stand before the king and says, "Well, let me interpret the dream for you. I have the interpretation." No, it's all about the God that reveals secrets. And then I want you to notice one last verse as we finish this morning, because the end result of all of this was that the dream was interpreted. And then the Bible tells us the king starts to give glory to Daniel's God. Now remember back at the beginning of our message, we said that God was going to use this opportunity in Daniel's life to be able to reveal his plan and his purpose. He's going to get all the glory. He's going to get all the praise. And that is exactly what happens. Because in verse number 47, as we close this chapter, the Bible says, "The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Who is the one that gets all of the glory? Not only does God get the glory from Daniel, but God gets the glory from the king as well. Can I ask you today, number one, let's be mindful of this. Number one, are we offering prayers of praise to God? Now, I understand part of prayer is asking God for things. We understand that. But it's not just about asking God for things. Can we learn from Daniel's example to spend some time praising God for who he is, for what he has given to us, and for what he has done in our lives? And then may we answer those questions this morning that we said. Are we more concentrated on the blessings that we have or the blesser? Who are you concentrated on today? Where is your focus? As we've examined the prayer of Daniel, I hope that his focus and where his heart was may be an example to you today to concentrate on the blesser, the one who gives the blessings. Are you more concentrated on the work, or are you more concentrated on the Lord of the work, the one who is doing the work in your life? You need him. You need his presence. You need his power in your life. Let's be concentrated on the Lord of the work. And then are we more concentrated on answered prayers, or more focused on answered prayers, than we are on the God who has answered the prayers? Perhaps maybe this challenge from Daniel chapter 2 will help us to be mindful to have prayers of praise and maybe worship the Lord the way that God desires in our hearts and lives. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we've had to look into your word this morning. And I thank you for the opportunity we've had to allow you, as we've heard your word, to speak to our hearts.